How do you find peace? Or where do you find peace? I want you to ponder that question today as we begin our study. Of course, we have the answer in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee. How do you find peace? Where do you find peace? You find peace in Christ. As you focus upon him, as you think about him, then you will know the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Let me warn you today, do not look to yourself for peace. Do not look within for peace. You've got to look without. You've got to look away to Christ, to Calvary, and that's where you'll find peace. Let's bow, please, in prayer. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the hymn for this morning. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. This hymn was written by a man called Horatio Spafford. He was married with four children, and he was from the city of Chicago in America. This hymn came out of great tragedies, not just one tragedy, not even two tragedies, but this man and his family had three tragedies in their lives. And I want to mention them this morning, and I want us to take heart and to take comfort from them, because maybe you've had a difficult week, and maybe you've had, or maybe you say, put an S on the end of that, you've had difficult weeks or months or years, maybe bereavement, and your heart's broken today and your heart's empty today. Maybe there's sickness, there's illness that's come to the family, perhaps financial troubles, fears about the future, health worries. There's so many things we could mention. Well, I want you to be encouraged today as we think about this hymn that was penned by Horatio Spafford all those years ago. And in spite of all his troubles and heartaches, he could say, it is well. It is well with my soul. That's what the lady in 2 Kings chapter 4 said. We've read about it today. Whenever her son, her young son died, and she went to meet Elisha, she said, it is well. Elisha asked, he sent the servant ahead, ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your family? And she turns round, she says, it is well. And we sit back and we say, what's she talking about? Sure, her son has died. But yet she says, it is well. Ah, friends, I believe she said that, and she meant, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Yes, her world had fallen apart. The bottom had fallen out of her world. It seemed to be that all the problems were just flooding in, and life had turned bitter. But yet she's able to say, it is well. And of course, Horatio Spafford was able to say, it is well with my soul. I wonder today, can you say that? It is well with my soul. Are you right with the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with the Savior? Well, let's move into the biography, if you like, of the Spaffords. The first tragedy that struck them was the Great Fire of Chicago. The Great Fire of Chicago. It took place in the year 1871. Mr. Spafford was a lawyer by trade, and he had a legal practice, but it was burned to the ground in the midst of the Chicago fire. The legend is that it was started by a cow. Now, I don't know whether that's true, but this is what the legend and the rumor was, that a cow kicked over a lantern in a barn. And that's what started the Great Fire of Chicago. Well, I don't know, but after 16 hours of the fire raging, an area of 3.5 square miles had been destroyed. And one of the businesses that was destroyed was the Spaffords. Financial crisis came. Their business was burned to the ground. Wonder, are you in difficult times financially? Because sometimes as believers we do. Times can be hard and it can be difficult to make ends meet. And we do have times of financial crisis. Well, that's what these Spaffords experienced. But they trusted in the Lord. You see, their treasure was in heaven. Let me ask you today, is your treasure in heaven? Isn't it a good thing whenever financial troubles come that we can say, Lord, my treasure is in heaven. I have the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, He spoke about laying up treasure in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. My, there's some people, and their aim is to have a bursting bank balance. Well, Jesus says, if you've got food and raiment, be content. And concentrate on the bank balance in heaven. Tell me today, how's your heavenly account? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Do you have the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, the Spaffords, even when financial crisis came, they knew that they had treasure in heaven, and that was all that mattered. That's what carried them through. There was a financial crisis. I suppose that's very topical today, isn't it? Because in our wee country, we've got a financial crisis. Well, all I can say is no wonder when you've got terrorists in government. And they're terrorists and murderers in government who want to bring Stormont down. They don't want Stormont to work. Do you ever think about that? We have people in government today and their aim is to wreck the Parliament. Because if you do 2 plus 2, and you think about it, their aim, of course, is a united Ireland. And to have stability in Northern Ireland, that doesn't tally, that doesn't suit their agenda. And so, of course, they want to wreck the stability, they want to wreck Stormont. You might have thought, and if you believe all you hear on the television and see on the television, you might have thought, oh, well, this is not, those poor politicians up there, it's not easy for them. Don't believe it. No, I'll tell you, friends, why there's a financial crisis today is because there are people in power who want it to be a financial crisis. There are people in power who are practicing what we could call economic terrorism. It was a few years ago, not so long ago, that there was violent terrorism and people were being blown up and there was bloodshed and there were people being shot in the back by cards. And that was the kind of terrorism it was. But today, dear friends, it's a different kind of terrorism. It's economic terrorism. Yeah, there's a financial crisis in our land. Oh, the book of Proverbs is quite right when it says, when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. Isn't that right? When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You know what we need to do? We need to go home and pray, Lord, will you bring the wicked down? Remove them from power so that we might rejoice, Lord, in godly men and godly women being raised to places of power. But financial crisis can come to the Parliament, but it can come into our family lives as well. But whenever a financial crisis strikes, ask yourself, do you have treasure in heaven? And if you have treasure in heaven, then you can say, it is well. It is well. So there was the Great Fire of Chicago. But you know, of course, the Bible says, when thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Isn't that what Scripture says? When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Now, it's speaking about the fire of affliction. Are you going through that fire today? Are you in the heat of the furnace? The Lord says, thou shalt not be burned. It is well with your soul. You might have financial hardship. You might have physical hardship. You might have emotional hardship. You might have other hardships in life. And your life seems to be full of thorns. But the Lord says, you'll not be burned as you go through the fire. And so there was the great fire of Chicago, but the Lord sustained his children, the Spaffords. Their trust was in the Lord. Their mind was stayed on him. And they had peace. Then the second tragedy that was to strike the family took place, not in the city of Chicago. It took place in the middle of the Atlantic. The middle of the Atlantic. You see, Horatio Spafford, he loved to hear D.L. Moody, the evangelist. And D.L. Moody had left America and gone to England to preach. And the Lord was moving and there was revival in the United Kingdom. And Mr. Spafford, he decided that he would go with his wife and family to England to hear D.L. Moody and to see how God was moving across the Atlantic. But then there was a situation that arose. And Mr. Spafford had to stay back home behind in America. But he didn't want to ruin it for his wife and family. And so he said, you go ahead, I'll catch up with you later. And so his wife and children, the four daughters, they left America. Mr. Spafford was left on the shore, waving goodbye to his wife and children. But tragedy struck not very far off the coast in Newfoundland. The ship that was sailing on went down in a very, very short space of time. And only his wife was saved. The four daughters drowned. And as the ship was going down, Mrs. Spafford, she gathered the four daughters around. They were just young, not even in their teens. There were 2, 5, 7, and 9, four young girls. She gathered them around on the deck of the ship and she prayed with them. And then the ship went down, the four girls were washed away and perished. Mrs. Spafford was in the waters, the icy waters of the Atlantic. She was picked up and brought to safety, and she eventually, after a number of days, she reached Cardiff in Wales. And she sent a telegram back home to her husband, saved alone, saved alone. And Mr. Spafford turned around and said, I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. I've no more time for this religion business. Do you think that's what he said? Not at all. Not at all. You see, his mind was stayed on the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord. And he obviously made his way across the Atlantic to be with his wife, to comfort her. But as he crossed the ocean, He said to the captain, he said, whenever you get to the point, the area, wherever the accident took place and the ship went down, will you tell me? And so the captain, whenever they reached that point, he said, Mr. Spafford, it was around this area that the tragedy happened. You know what Horatio Spafford did? He went to his cabin and he started to pen that great hymn. The hymn we have just sung. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Wonder could we have done that? His business had been destroyed. He could have turned around and said, Lord, why? His four daughters had been drowned. He could have turned round and blamed God and said, Lord, what have I done to deserve this? But he didn't. That wasn't the only disaster and the only hardship to come into their lives. But whenever they arrived back in America, they had three more children, two daughters and a son. But the little boy died. He was only 4 years of age. My, what hardship, what tragedy. I know that we have problems with difficulties. There are times whenever you just sit down and you say, well, it's been a bad day or it's been a bad week. Hope nothing else goes wrong. But you know, dear friends, whenever we hear of stories like this, this is not a myth, this is a true story, it really happened. Whenever we hear of these things, it kind of puts things in perspective. And here we have this man and his wife, and they've come through three awful tragedies, and yet their faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what an example. Now, you know what happened after this third tragedy? After all that family had been through, do you know what the people in their church did? They said, it's because of sin in your lives. Isn't that hard to believe that Christians could be so callous? After the little boy had died, after that third tragedy struck the home, this is what the congregation in America turned round and said to them. Oh, it's because there's sin in your life. This is God's chastisement upon you. How awful, how hurtful. It's a bit like Job's comforters, isn't it? You know how when Job was going through the trials and had lost everything, how the men came and said, Job, it's because you're a sinner, it's because you've sinned against God. And they were totally wrong. Oh, I trust that if tragedy comes to this congregation, that we would never turn around and say that to anybody. For it would be terrible. Be a disgraceful thing to say. It's a wee bit like, I suppose, the disciples. Remember in John chapter 9, you heard about it last Sunday morning, and I listened to the CD. It was a great message. And how the disciples said, Lord, this man, he's been born blind. Lord, was it him sinned or was it his parents sinned that he was born blind? These men who had walked with Christ had spent their lives, the 3.5 years with the Savior day in, day out, and this is what they think, and this is what they say. My, sometimes Christians can be so callous. And the Christians in the church that the Spaffords attended, my, how hurtful, how unfeeling they were as they accused them of sin. But the Spaffords, they maintained their faith in the Lord. They kept their eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And they knew that it was well with their souls. You may ask today, why did you read 2 Kings chapter 4? Well, let me just refer to it again as we finish. You see, we have a lady there and her husband. And they've experienced bereavement and tragedy. They've lost their little boy. He's died and perished. He's lying on the bed and he's dead. The icy cold hand of death has come upon the little child. And then the lady, she goes to the right person. I want you to notice that. This lady, the woman from Shunem, she went to the right person. We read there in 2 Kings chapter 4 that she went to Elisha the prophet. Do you know, dear friends, whenever tragedy strikes, go to the prophet. I'm not speaking about Elisha. I'm speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the greatest prophet of all. You know how Islam today and the Muslims, they speak about their great prophet Muhammad. Oh, woe betide you if you say anything against him, or if you draw a cartoon of Muhammad. Oh dear, your head will be off. Of course, that wouldn't happen in Christianity, and that's why our government today tramples upon the Christian faith and just treats it like dirt. They know that Christians, that the teachings of Christ are to be peaceful and not to retaliate. But go to the prophet today with your burdens. In Matthew chapter 21, the people there cried out, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Do you have hardships today? Do you have burdens that the pastor, that the leadership in the church know nothing about? Take your burdens to the prophet. Go to the right person. If you're saved, if it's well with your soul, you can go to Christ. She went to the right person, but let me finish. She went to the right place. She went to the right place, this lady, because we're told she went to Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel. What's the significance of Mount Carmel? Well, that was a place, of course, where Elijah's altar was. It was the place where the blood had been shed. It was the place where the sacrifice had been made. The fire came down from heaven. Dear friends, today the place that we want to tell you about is Calvary. Mount Calvary. Go to Mount Calvary with your burdens. Go to the right place. When trouble comes, when heartache comes, and you're asking why, and you don't understand why it's happening and what's happening, and things seem to be out of control, and you find it very hard and very difficult to say God is still on the throne, and even harder to sing it, go to Mount Calvary. Oh, the woman, she went to the right place. She went to Carmel. We go to Calvary because it was there that our Savior bled and died. The sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins forever was made. The fire of God's wrath fell on Christ, and it won't fall upon us, those of us who are trusting in the Savior. Go to the cross. And it was a happy ending, because the little boy was raised to life. The Lord, through his servant Elisha, brought the little boy back to life again. A happy ending. You know how in fairy stories, boys and girls, you know the fairy stories and the fairy tales. You know how at the end it says, and they lived happily ever after. They all lived happily ever after. Well, here in this story, they all lived happily ever after, and it's not a fairy story, it's not a myth, it's not a fairy tale. This is a true story. But they lived, there was a happy ending, and it was because their faith was in the Lord. Whenever your faith is in Christ, there will always be a happy ending. There was a happy ending for the Spaffords, because today they're with their four daughters who drowned in heaven. They're with their little boy who died. They're with them again. They've been reunited in heaven. And my, the privilege of those of us who are saved, one day we'll meet the Spaffords. We'll be able to sing with them, it is well with my soul.